blind and print impaired. Hello again, I'm Randall Rickman for North Carolina Reading Service. For this hour, I'll be reading to you from Time Magazine. This issue is dated January 27th, 2020. We go right to the milestones page in the front of the magazine. My correction, the For the Record page, milestones will be coming up shortly. The For the Record page is a one-page compendium of tiny news items, each one illustrated by a two-color drawing or a headline in bold or a combination of the two. In the upper right-hand corner is a story illustrated by a quotation from Yasaku Maezawa, Japanese billionaire, in a January 9th announcement asking women to apply to join him on a mission around the moon. And the quotation from Yasaku Maezawa, quote, "I want to find a life partner. With that future partner of mine, I want to shout out our love and world peace from outer space." Unquote. In the middle right margin of the page is the statistic in bright red, 112. Caption explains, number of missile tubes on the Nanchang, the destroyer commissioned by the Chinese Navy, on January 12th, which will be one of the largest in Asia. 112 missile tubes. In the lower right corner of the page is the feature within a feature, Bad Week, Good Week. At Bad Week, snowboarding. Olympic half-pipe champ Tora Bright will no longer compete in the event. Under Good Week, skiing. A UK skier became the youngest woman to ski solo to the South Pole. Running along the bottom of the page is a story illustrated by the statistic in bright red, 2000. Caption explains, approximate population of giant tortoises on Española Island in the Galapagos, up from just 15 in 1970, thanks in part to the efforts of Diego, a more than century-old male tortoise who was retired from a breeding program on January 10th. 2,000 giant tortoises. In the lower left margin of the page is a story illustrated by quotation from Tsai Ing-wen, president of Taiwan, after winning a landslide re-election victory on January 11th. And the quotation from Tsai Ing-wen, president of Taiwan, quote, "I hope the Beijing authorities understand that democratic Taiwan and our democratically elected government will not concede to threats and intimidation." Unquote. In the upper left margin of the page is a story illustrated by Donald Trump, U.S. president, in a January 13th tweet on whether Iran's General Qasem Soleimani was plotting imminent attacks, as the Trump administration claimed after he was killed on January 3rd by an American drone strike. And the quotation from President Donald Trump in bright red, quote, "It doesn't really matter," unquote. In the upper center of the page is a story illustrated by a quotation from Elizabeth Warren, Massachusetts senator and 2020 Democratic presidential candidate. Elizabeth Warren, in a statement released on January 13th, describing a private December 2018 meeting she had with Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. And the quotation from Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren in all caps and bold black, quote, "I thought a woman could win. He disagreed," unquote. Caption goes on to say, he denied making the remark. In the lower center of the page is a story illustrated by a quotation from a Boeing company pilot on the now grounded 737 MAX in a 2017 message made public on January 9th. And the quotation from a Boeing company pilot, quote, "This airplane is designed by clowns who in turn are supervised by monkeys," unquote, regarding Boeing 737 MAX. That's the entire content of the For the Record page. Now we go to the major section that opens the magazine, The Brief. And the subsection that opens The Brief is Opener. And the heading is Politics, where the headline is The Candidates Stuck in D.C. Article by Philip Elliott, with reporting by Charlotte Alter in New York, Lissandra Villa in Des Moines, Iowa, and Abby Vasulis in Washington. Philip Elliott states, "The looming Senate trial of President Donald Trump has claimed its first victim, and it's not the besieged commander-in-chief, any of his closest aides, or even a Republican. On January 13th, Senator Cory Booker ended his race for the Democrats' White House nomination, blaming the decision partly on the fact that, quote, the urgent business of impeachment will rightly be keeping me in Washington, unquote. Booker's attendance at Trump's trial is not optional. Senators are required to be in the Capitol for it every afternoon from Monday to Saturday, under penalty of arrest by the sergeant-at-arms. And Booker's not the only one affected. Once the proceedings begin in earnest, perhaps as soon as January 21, just 13 days before the Iowa caucuses, four candidates for the Democratic nomination, including top contenders Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, will be handicapped in the first-in-the-nation contest. Quote, "It's a very difficult time for these campaigns," unquote, says veteran Democratic strategist Matt Paul. Quote, "This is exactly when you want your candidate in the state a great deal," unquote. The Senate trial hands a temporary but critical edge on in-person campaigning to former Vice President Joe Biden and former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg, as well as to billionaires Michael Bloomberg and Tom Steyer, who are already blanketing the nation with ads. This may be good news for those Democrats who fear a far-left lurch under Warren or Sanders. It's also a reminder that even an embattled Trump can influence the contest for the White House, playing captor to candidates vying to end his presidency the old-fashioned way. Those presidential hopefuls, who happen to work in Senate office buildings, are doing their best not to disappear from the scene. Senator Amy Klobuchar, who had seen a late rise in her polling in Iowa, is bracing for long hours at her desk on the Senate floor during impeachment proceedings, and even longer ones before and after, as she attempts to stay in contention. Her campaign is considering things like beaming her in video conferences in libraries, schools, and living rooms so she can take voters' questions from afar. Klobuchar will lean on a network of backers. She says she has more endorsements from current and former Iowa elected officials than anyone else in the race. Quote, "We are going to do everything we can to continue to get her message out," unquote, a senior Klobuchar campaign aide says. The bigger-name senators in the race, Sanders and Warren, who have been drawing huge crowds as they compete for the progressive wing of the party, are including out-of-state proxies in their arsenals. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has been promoting Sanders, and former Housing and Urban Development Secretary Julian Castro has been extolling the potential of his pal Warren. Allies of both candidates argue that the time off the trail won't be as damaging to them as it will be to, say, Colorado's Michael Bennett, who's gone all in with a bid centered on New Hampshire's February 11th primary. The Warren and Sanders crews say their backers can weather a little neglect, whereas folks like Bennett and Klobuchar are still at a more fragile stage. Bennett's campaign says New Hampshire is an easier jump for evening events. Sanders also has money to mitigate his absence. He paid more than $77,000 for Facebook ads targeting Iowa in 2020's first week, compared with the less than $8,000 Biden's campaign spent tracing the same audience during that period, according to a tracking database published by the Democratic consultancy Bully Pulpit Interactive. Warren, whose fundraising sagged at the end of 2019, spent less than $15,000 on Facebook ads during that window. Even with proxies and campaign funds hard at work, Sanders and Warren are at risk if their message of a revolution gets stuck in Washington. There is little better than in-person, retail-style campaigning in Iowa and New Hampshire, where voters like to poke and prod the campaigns. A Des Moines Register / CNN poll released on January 10th found almost one-third of likely Iowa caucus-goers still undecided or backing someone who was not viable under party rules that require 15% support to win any delegates. Sanders, whose momentum wasn't disrupted by an October heart attack that kept him off the trail, promises an aggressive campaign no matter what. Quote, he'll be out there on weekends, and he can get out there on evenings, unquote, says Representative Ro Khanna, a national co-chair of Sanders' campaign. Quote, his priority will be the Senate trial. He's made that clear, unquote. Warren is similarly putting on a brave face. Quote, there are some things that are more important than politics, and if we have an impeachment proceeding going on, I will be there, unquote, she told reporters in Rochester, New Hampshire, on December 7th. Quote, this is not about politics, unquote. Some voters appreciate that stance. Quote, I respect them more for going and upholding their oath to the Constitution and their duties there, unquote, says 49-year-old Mary Kay Smith of Des Moines. That's not keeping Smith from keeping her options open. On January 13th, Smith, who was leaning toward Buttigieg, attended a town hall to see fringe contender Andrew Young speak. Entire article by Philip Elliott, Charlotte Alter, Lysandra Villa, and Abby Vasulis. On the facing page, we have the subsection called The Bulletin, where the headline is, Iranian authorities struggle to contain protests after downing of jetliner. Article by Joseph Hinks. It took 3 days for Iran to admit the truth. Hours after it launched missiles at bases in Iraq that housed U.S. troops on January 8th, A Ukraine International Airlines passenger jet bound for Kiev crashed shortly after taking off from Tehran, killing all 176 on board. Iranian officials suggested the cause was technical failure, but backtracked on January 11th, saying, quote, human error, unquote, had led its military to shoot down the plane, and blaming, quote, U.S. adventurism, unquote, for creating the situation. Angry and distrustful, Iranians poured onto the streets as footage circulated of protesters chanting, quote, death to the dictator, unquote. And here Joseph Hinks lists three main topics. The first topic is sentiment swing. Days earlier, millions of Iranians had gathered in grief and rage after a U.S. airstrike killed Iranian commander Qasem Soleimani on January 3rd. But the feeling shifted when it seemed Tehran was trying to cover up its role in the crash. Quote, we are not citizens. We never were, unquote, one of Iran's most popular actors, Taraneh Adidusti, wrote to her nearly 6 million Instagram followers on January 12th, quote, we are captives, unquote. That night, police reportedly fired live ammunition at protesters in Tehran, injuring several. Parenthetically, the police deny firing the shots. Second topic, renewed protests. The period of national unity that followed Soleimani's death marked a rare moment of reprieve for Iran's leadership, which was rocked in November by the largest anti-regime demonstrations since the 1979 revolution. Sparked by a domestic gas price hike amid crippling U.S. sanctions, that unrest prompted a nationwide internet blackout, during which security forces killed more than 300 demonstrators, according to Amnesty International. Third and final topic, damaged trust. As the U.S. sanctions bite, lower-income Iranians in traditionally pro-regime areas have joined protests normally populated by the middle classes and students. But after the crash, critical voices emerged from even less likely quarters. Resigning from the state broadcaster, a journalist asked viewers to forgive her for, quote, the 13 years I told you lies, unquote. The editor-in-chief of the right-wing Tasnim news agency also blamed, quote, officials who misled the media, unquote, tweeting, quote, we are all ashamed before the people, unquote. With President Trump warning that the, quote, world is watching, unquote, Iran's next steps will be under the spotlight, both at home and abroad. Entire article by Joseph Hinks. This item is accompanied by a photograph. It's a candid shot. Caption says, demonstrators at a vigil in Tehran on January 11th mourn victims of a plane crash caused by Iran's military. And in that picture, in the foreground, it is nighttime, and we see two young women, their faces illuminated by candles they are holding, which are lit. One woman has two candles under her face. One is holding a single candle. Sharing this page is the sidebar feature, News Ticker, a collection of three news items each time, stacked one on top of the other. Top item, Trump to divert defense funds for wall. President Trump is planning to spend $7.2 billion of Pentagon funds on border wall construction, according to unreleased figures obtained by media outlets. The money, taken from military counter-drug and construction projects, is five times the amount allocated by Congress for the wall in 2020. Middle item, Russia hacked Ukrainian gas company. A U.S. cybersecurity firm said Russian military hackers successfully infiltrated Burisma Holdings, the Ukrainian gas firm at the center of President Trump's impeachment. The New York Times first reported the hack on January 13th, noting it began in November, months after Trump urged Ukraine to investigate Hunter Biden, who had served on Burisma's board. Bottom item, more women are dying from drinking. Alcohol-related deaths among U.S. women rose 85% from 1999 to 2017, adjusted for population growth, according to a January 8th report from the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. Still, far more men than women die from alcohol-related causes. That was News Ticker. Moving ahead, we are now at the promised milestones page. Lead item under announced. A royal restructuring. The Queen greenlights Megxit. Observance by Dan Stewart, who writes, in Britain, the royal family is nicknamed The Firm, and on January 13th, its chief executive announced a, quote, period of transition, unquote, ahead of a pending demerger. A week after Prince Harry and his wife, Meghan, shocked the public and royalty alike by announcing their intent to seek a, quote, progressive new role, unquote, largely outside the family business, Queen Elizabeth II acted to stem potential Megxit damage. She convened a summit with her eldest son and his offspring to discuss how the Duke and Duchess of Sussex might live independently of the institution she has presided over for more than six decades. Beyond the logistical difficulties, Harry and Meghan's decision present an existential problem for the royals. The popular Sussexes invested the crown with the kind of youthful glamour and modernity that might appeal to a new generation of subjects. But if one pair of senior royals can relinquish its duties and its claim to lavish taxpayer-funded lifestyles, it gives anti-monarchists a powerful argument in asking why the others cannot. In a worst-case scenario, Harry and Meghan could become a 21st-century Edward VIII and Wallace Simpson, whose post-abdication embrace of celebrity became an enduring source of embarrassment to the family. Exactly what was said in the January 13th summit remains behind palace doors, and the Queen's statement about it was crafted as precisely as any CEO announcement. She expressed support for the Sussexes, but noted her personal preference for things to stay the same, and said the transition would be carefully managed. That stance may reassure the firm's investors, but the effects of this royal restructuring on the nation's balance sheet will take longer to divide. Entire article by Dan Stewart. This item is accompanied by a full-color candid photograph. Caption explains, the Sussexes pay a visit to Canada House in London on January 7th, the day before announcing their plan to spend more time in North America. And in the picture, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex are leaving the front steps of the building. She's wearing a brown and bronze-colored outfit and carrying a top coat that is beige. And Prince Harry, the Duke of Sussex, is wearing a dark blue suit, white shirt, and light blue tie. They are holding hands. Underpunished. The Houston Astros for stealing signs. Observance by Sean Gregory. On January 13th, Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred fined the Houston Astros $5 million, swiped their first and second round draft picks for the next 2 years, and suspended general manager Jeff Luhnow and manager A.J. Hinch for a season because Houston used electronic espionage to steal signs from opposing catchers in 2017 and 2018. Thus, a World Series title was forever stained. Houston cheated in the 2017 playoffs and won. Houston later fired Luhnow and Hinch. The Boston Red Sox effectively canned manager Alex Cora, an architect of Houston's scheme, as its bench coach in 2017. Cora won a World Series in 2018 as Boston's manager. Parenthetically, the Red Sox are also under investigation for shady surveillance. Manfred acknowledged that baseball's perceived, quote, integrity, unquote, problem has inflicted, quote, significant harm to the game, unquote. For a sport already struggling to enthuse a new generation of fans, this scandal could be a disaster. Entire article by Sean Gregory. This item also was accompanied by a candid photograph. It's a half-length shot, captured says, Hinch, after the Astros' big 2017 win. The picture shows him holding up the World Series trophy. And the right margin, underselected. Director Spike Lee, as the first black jury head at the Cannes Film Festival, organizers said on January 14th, several of Lee's films have premiered at the festival. Under dropped out, self-help author Marianne Williamson from the Democratic presidential primary on January 10th. She laid off her entire campaign staff earlier in the month. Under accused, Apple, by Attorney General William Barr on January 13th, of not providing, quote, substantive assistance, unquote, in the investigation of a shooting at a Florida Navy base last month. Barr asked the company to unlock two iPhones believed to belong to the gunman. Under ordered, Wisconsin election officials to purge 200,000 names from state voter rolls by a judge on January 13th. 200,000 names. Under announced that he wants to reform the Russian Constitution by Vladimir Putin. In an address on January 15th, Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev, as well as his cabinet, resigned after the speech. Under one, and that is spelled W-O-N, the College Football Playoff National Championship by Louisiana State University, which beat Clemson 42-25 on January 13th. Under one, spelled W-O-N, Jeopardy's greatest of all time tournament on January 14th. Who is Ken Jennings? And that is as written. That is the entire content of the Milestones page. On the facing page is another edition of the News Ticker sidebar feature. Once again, three news items stacked one on top of the other. Top item. deadly avalanches strike Kashmir. At least 55 people died and dozens were injured in Pakistani-administered Kashmir as avalanches caused by heavy rain and snowfall swept villages, officials said on January 14th. 12 people were also confirmed dead in the Indian-controlled part of the disputed Himalayan territory. Central item, U.S. and China sign Phase 1 trade deal. Beijing and Washington sealed Phase 1 of a trade deal on January 15th, cooling a trade war that began in 2018. The deal commits China to $200 billion in additional purchases of U.S. goods in exchange for a rollback in some tariffs and a hold on further punitive measures from the U.S. Bottom item. Former Pope speaks out on celibacy. Retired Pope Benedict XVI has asked that his name be removed as a co-author of a new book after his January 15th publication made headlines for his having taken a stance against allowing married men in the Amazon region to be ordained. Pope Francis is considering relaxing celibacy rules to address the shortage of priests in the area. And that was the second edition of News Ticker in this volume. Moving ahead, and we are now in the section called The View. And this subsection is Science, where the headline is Taking a New Temperature, by Alice Park, who writes, for 150 years, 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit has been considered normal human body temperature. But recently, Stanford University researchers analyzed some 677,000 temperature readings collected from nearly 190,000 people from 1862 to 2017, and found that they fell by 0.054 degrees Fahrenheit and 0.052 degrees Fahrenheit per decade for men and women, respectively, in those years. Changes in average height and weight could explain some of the decline, says Julie Parsonet, a Stanford professor and lead author of the study. And today she adds, quote, we have better nutrition, medical care, and public health, unquote. But perhaps most important, antibiotics and vaccines can control many of the inflammatory conditions that can drive up body temperature. Plus, she says, if we do get sick, quote, we conquer general inflammation with non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs and statins, unquote, which frees the body from heating up in an effort to fight off diseases. The findings suggest doctors should move toward more personalized temperature readings that take into account all the things that affect body temperature, like height, weight, age, time of day, and outside temperature. Entire article by Alice Park. On the facing page is the sidebar feature, Short Reads. Time says, highlights from stories on time.com/ideas. And Time lists three samples. Top excerpt. Positive reinforcement. Performing an action over and over again won't necessarily help you form a new habit, according to B.J. Fogg, author of Tiny Habits. Quote, emotions create habits, not repetition, not frequency, not fairy dust, unquote, he writes. That's why he suggests celebrating immediately after doing the desired behavior. That author is, again, B.J. Fogg, spelled F-O-G-G, and his book is Tiny Habits. Central item, heaven on earth. Many people think you go to heaven when you die, but according to N.T. Wright, professor of New Testament and Early Christianity at the University of St. Andrews, that's not what the early Christians believed. Quote, the point was not for us to go to heaven, but for the life of heaven to arrive on earth, unquote, he explains. The bottom item, under attack. After 14 years of reporting in India, journalist Rana Ayub thought she'd seen the worst. Then she saw police stand by as masked men attacked university students. Quote, the first week of the new decade marked a remarkable low for law and order. In India, a low for our justice system and our political leadership, unquote, she writes. Those are three samples from time.com/ideas. Moving forward, we come upon cover story entitled Inside Game, The Unusual Power of Jared Kushner by Brian Bennett. Jared Kushner's White House office is a shrine to his own influence. Gold-framed accolades from his father-in-law hang on the walls, written in thick black Sharpie in President Donald Trump's spiky hand, quote, to Jared, great job on Mexico. Thanks, Dad, reads one. A limestone replica of the plaque marking the move of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, which Kushner helped orchestrate, rests atop a bookcase. There is his medal, representing the Order of the Aztec Eagle, the highest award given to foreigners by the Mexican government, with whom Kushner hammered out a trade deal. Above the door is a commemorative poster for the criminal justice bill Kushner shepherded, signed by the rapper Kanye West, parenthetically, quote, to Jared from your friend Ye. Near his desk sits a rack of folders with handwritten labels that nod to Kushner's unrealistically broad policy portfolio. Healthcare, Lebanon, border infrastructure, Central America, Econ Plan, President of the U.S., Environment, DOJ, parenthetically, Department of Justice. The office is smaller than the others lining the south wall of the West Wing, where some of the president's top aides cloister. But Kushner, an erstwhile real estate developer, values setting over size and chose the space adjoining Trump's private dining room, the president's favorite hideaway. Quote, not the biggest office in the world, but it's a good location, unquote, he explains to Time. Kushner likes to show visitors the spot on one wall where a door to the president's inner sanctum was plastered over. Quote, this is where Monica used to come in, unquote, he says, of the former White House intern who visited Bill Clinton's study. The rack of folders does not contain his entire portfolio. As senior advisor to the president, he's been entrusted with brokering peace in the Middle East, building a border wall, reforming the criminal justice system, pursuing diplomacy with China and Mexico, and creating an, quote, Office of American Innovation, unquote, dedicated to revamping how the government works. Kushner is in charge of the president's 2020 reelection campaign, overseeing fundraising, strategy, and advertising. He has walk-in privileges in the Oval Office and can weigh in on any decision across the building. Quote, nobody has more influence in the White House than Jared. Nobody has more influence outside the White House than Jared, unquote, says Brad Parscale, whom Kushner installed as Trump's campaign manager. Quote, he's number two after Trump, unquote. At the start of Trump's term, very few people in Washington considered this a good thing. Some White House officials complained privately that a president's decision to task his 39-year-old son-in-law with some of the world's hardest problems made the administration look incompetent at best and corrupt at worst. Conservative Republicans worried that Kushner and his wife, Ivanka, both former Democratic donors like Trump himself, would steer the new president toward the political center. To liberals, Kushner was a case study in the dangers of nepotism, a dilettante playing diplomat who was either unable or unwilling to use his political capital to rein in Trump's worst impulses. His first few months after Trump won the White House were littered with mistakes that showcased naivete. His meeting with a Russian banker linked to the Kremlin stoked speculation about collusion. His support for Trump's decision to fire FBI Director James Comey helped trigger the appointment of Special Counsel Robert Mueller. His spotty top security clearance application and ties his family real estate business has had to foreign governments forced the president to grant him a clearance by fiat, overruling counterintelligence officials and White House lawyers. Foreign intelligence services reportedly identified Kushner as a target for manipulation. As criticism rained down, Kushner was content to remain a cipher, often seen but rarely heard. Kushner now acknowledges his learning curve. Quote, I had some bumpy patches along the way. I got here, and obviously at the beginning, there's a lot I needed to learn, unquote, he tells Tom, sitting at a conference table in his office. Quote, I didn't know all the files that well. I didn't know which files were my responsibility, which files were other people's responsibility. I didn't necessarily know what it took to be successful, unquote. But over the course of Trump's term, few people have been as influential as Kushner. He was an architect of the primary bipartisan legislative achievement of Trump's first term, the Criminal Justice Reform Bill. He helped negotiate a revamped trade deal with Canada and Mexico. His push to tighten America's embrace of Saudi Arabia and Israel has altered Middle East politics. He has proven a deft bureaucratic knife fighter, helping push out a series of senior staffers who tried to impose order on a freewheeling president. Quote, hopefully my results speak for themselves, unquote, Kushner says. Quote, I think that I've accomplished a lot. I think the president trusts me, and he knows I've had his back, and he knows that I've been able to execute for him on a lot of different objectives, unquote. The portrait that emerges from interviews with Kushner, current and former White House officials, lawmakers, and people close to him, is of an increasingly confident operator who was learning to pull the levels of power in the White House and throughout Washington in ways that may surprise critics. Listening to Kushner describe his role makes it clear that he was never going to be the moderating force the Democrats hoped for and Trump loyalists feared. He doesn't see his job as steering Trump to a decision. He sees himself as the enabler of the president's agenda. Quote, one thing you have to remember when you work for President Trump is that you don't make the waves. He makes the waves, unquote, Kushner explains in his office, a silver bowl of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups on the table. quote, "Your job is to surf the wave as best you can every day. And you have to always smile," and have a sense of humor with it, "because he's the one who's got the instinct," unquote. The Trump presidency may depend on Kushner's surfing skills. As the Senate prepares to convene its impeachment trial, Kushner is overseeing strategy meetings in the West Wing to bring competing White House factions together and plot out the president's defense. At the same time, he approves every expenditure of $1 million or more for the 2020 re-election bid. America has a history of presidents appointing family members to positions of power dating back to John Adams. John F. Kennedy's closest advisor and attorney general was his brother, Bobby. Bill Clinton tapped his wife, Hillary, to run the signature issue of his first term, health care reform. But it is rare for a president to give such power to a family member with no policy experience. Kushner has proved he has the quality Trump prizes most, loyalty to the boss. But his blind devotion has sometimes carried a cost. Some White House aides argue that the president's impeachment was a result of Kushner's working to oust aides who had tried to put up guardrails to protect the president. Kushner's many critics inside the White House admit he is now nearly untouchable. One reason they all insist on speaking anonymously for this article. And while he may have learned a lot in 3 years, when you're tackling the world's toughest problems, overconfidence can be dangerous. Quote, "He's a classic, don't know what you don't know," says one senior administration official. Quote, "He should stop assuming and ask some questions and try to learn," unquote. On most mornings, Kushner wakes up around 5:30 a.m. in the $5.6 million white brick mansion he and his wife Ivanka Trump rent in Washington's Colorama neighborhood, where his neighbors include ambassadors, Amazon boss Jeff Bezos, and the Obamas. He practices transcendental meditation. He won't reveal his mantra, and puts an espresso pod into a coffee machine for his wife. On a recent morning, when Ivanka was out of town, Kushner read the newspapers in bed with their youngest child while the eldest daughter walked the family's fluffy white pomsky named Winter. Parenthetically, the duty conforms to a contract Kushner required the 8-year-old to write and sign before bringing the dog home. By 7:15 a.m., Kushner is usually in the back seat of a black Secret Service SUV heading to the West Wing. On December 19th, the day after Trump's impeachment, Kushner had a full agenda at the White House. Over the course of 3 hours, Kushner worked on Trump's effort to cut government regulations on businesses, expand school choice programs, and increase investment in poor urban neighborhoods. When Kushner's team of nearly a dozen advisors packed his office, the updates ticked from immigration to technology upgrades at agencies to prison release programs, along with a half dozen other initiatives Kushner is tracking. At one point, Kushner walked across the hall to the Roosevelt Room to offer advice to a group of White House fellows, young professionals spending a year working with senior staff and cabinet secretaries. He salted his remarks with business jargon, using phrases like growth curve and calculated risk. Quote, "You're always at a posture until you are at a deal," unquote, he said. It's hard to pin down Kushner's ideology. He did not register as a Republican until September 2018. White House officials were suspicious of his priorities and resentful of his clout. turf wars were rampant. Kushner says he has learned to express his opinions with the president in private, usually in the White House residence or in the president's dining room next door to his office, so that aides with competing interests don't leak to the press. Quote, "It's very rare that I'll give my opinion to the president in front of other people," unquote, he says. Quote, "I have my personal opinions and my personal sympathies, but I work for the President of the United States. And my job is to, when he asks my advice on things, give him my advice. But then, when the president makes a decision, my job is to help him execute that decision," unquote. A descendant of Holocaust survivors, Kushner grew up in Livingston, New Jersey, in a family of Orthodox Jews. His parents were prominent Democratic donors close to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who once crashed in Kushner's childhood bedroom. Kushner is no stranger to family controversy. When Jared was 23 years old, his father Charles pleaded guilty to illegal campaign contributions, tax evasion, and witness tampering in a case that involved trying to influence Charles's brother's testimony by setting him up with a prostitute and secretly videotaping the encounter. Kushner's father spent 14 months in federal prison in Alabama. Kushner remains close with his immediate family, speaking with his parents on Friday nights before Shabbat. He wears a Kabbalah bracelet of red thread, a gift from his sister that invokes how his grandmother used to sew red thread into family clothing to ward off evil. Kushner's bond with Trump was forged by more than his 2009 marriage to the president's elder daughter. Both men are ambitious scions who inherited real estate empires and lifted them to glitzier heights in Manhattan. Kushner's cornerstone acquisition was 666 Fifth, which his company bought in 2007 for $1.8 billion. It was a record price paid at the wrong time. Within a year, the recession hit, and the debt became hard to service. Talks between the Kushner companies and Bush and business interests in China and Qatar in 2017 sparked speculation by Democrats that those countries might be trying to gain leverage over Kushner. Like the Kushners, Trump prefers to run his enterprises as a family business. So when he launched his campaign in 2015, Kushner was eventually drawn into the fold, and he quickly became a key advisor, pushing a blitz of Facebook ad buys and encouraging Trump to do more friendly interviews with local television stations in swing states. Trump leaned on Kushner, who took no title in the campaign, to oversee decisions about spending, advertising, and travel. Quote, no quote, reader error. Campaign officials competing for power often waited until Friday nights to approach Trump about decisions Kushner opposed, according to two former campaign officials, knowing that as modern Orthodox Jews, Kushner and Ivanka would be home for Shabbat and off electronic devices. In October 2016, rivals tried to strip Parscale's control over television ad buys while Kushner was out of the office observing Yom Kippur. But Kushner proved a capable infighter as well. During the presidential transition, he persuaded Trump to jettison former New Jersey Governor Christie, who had once prosecuted Charles Kushner. Parenthetically, Kushner has publicly denied doing so. He nixed a host of conservatives who had criticized Trump for key administration posts. And he worked to sideline officials whose objectives he believes were different from the president's. Quote, the biggest source of tension I had early on with different people here centered around the fact that people wanted him to make decisions that they want him to make, as opposed to getting him information, unquote, Kushner says. Quote, he's rotated out a lot of the people who have maybe been more in it for themselves than for him, unquote. But bringing on board malleable underlings has sometimes produced the unique chaos of Trump Unbound, and Kushner's own feel for people has been spotty. He pushed for Michael Flynn to be hired as National Security Advisor, a job that lasted 24 days after Flynn became embroiled in an FBI investigation over his lying about a phone call with the Russian ambassador. Later, he helped push out Press Secretary Sean Spicer to bring in New York financier Anthony Scaramucci, who imploded within 10 days. His decision to embrace Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman backfired when Saudi agents killed Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi in Istanbul. There were policy flaps, too. Flouting Republican doctrine, Kushner consulted former Obama administration health advisor Zeke Emanuel about salvaging the Affordable Care Act, according to one current and one former White House official. Kushner held talks with Republican Senator Lindsey Graham about rewriting U.S. immigration laws. And we have run out of time for this edition of Time Magazine. We hope you'll join us next time. This content is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Randall Rickman with North Carolina Reading Service. This podcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, triangleReadingService.org. And a correction, NCReadingService.org. I'll repeat that. NCReadingService.org. Your reader apologizes once again. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Your reader thanks you for being with us and for your patience with your reader. Please join us next time for your Time Magazine.